So this morning we're starting with the second in our series of the promise. Our Advent series, taking us to Christmas. And then after Christmas we will start with a series on the life of Christ, taking us to Easter. So this is the plan. Starting with the birth of Christ at Christmas, ending with the death of Christ at Easter. It's going to be a fantastic series. Well, this morning, we are looking at the promise, because this is the series for Advent. Jesus was promised to come. There was a time between the promise and the realization or the fulfillment of the promise, where people had to hold on to that promise. This morning, we will look at the promise given to King David. Last week, we looked at the promise given to Abraham. How many of you have used a babysitter before? How many have babysat for someone? So you all know what I'm talking about. When a couple came home after a night out, back to their children who they left with the babysitter, and they were pleasantly surprised to find the kids fast asleep. After they'd paid the babysitter, on her way out, she turned around and she said, "Oh, I almost forgot to tell you. I promised Sammy that if he stays in bed, you will give him a pony in the morning." Last week we talked about Abraham. Abraham believed God's promise to him. And the fact that he believed God was credited to him as righteousness. You see, between the time when the promise is made and when it is fulfilled, there is a period of waiting. And that period of waiting needs to be filled with faith. Between the promise of the pony in the evening and the fulfillment in the morning, there's a time of faith where Sammy stays in bed and does not get up until he falls asleep, because he knows that the promise has been given to him. A promise that isn't believed doesn't do much good. If I promise you all today that the Canucks will be winning the Stanley Cup, it might not change much in your life. But if I had 50 boxes of chocolates right here with me on the platform, and if I promised you and I said, every time that you say amen during the service, at the end of the service, I will give you a box of chocolates. Those who believe the promise will be giving out amens all through the service. You see, it's going to alter your actions. It's going to change what you do. The promise doesn't change, but you will change whether you believe the promise or not. Sammy believed the promise. He stayed in bed. He was fast asleep. And the onus of fulfilling that promise was moved from the babysitter to the parents. Let me ask you this. Are you living in anticipation right now? Are you trusting God for promises that were made to you? In this time, between when the promise was made and when this promise will be fulfilled in your life, are you living in such a way that shows that you are trusting that promise, that you are believing that promise? Has it changed what you do, what you say, where you go? In the same way that the kids stayed in bed because they were promised a pony, in the same way, Abraham went where God sent him, and he did what God asked him to do. If you and I would do that, we will be rewarded. God is faithful. He is true to keep his promises. And our faith in him will not go unrewarded. Let us read a passage this morning from 2 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm reading from the NIV version. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, this morning as we think about the promise you made to your servant David, we stand on this side of history where we can look back and recognize that you were true to your promise and you fulfilled it in the coming of Jesus Christ. I pray this morning as we reflect upon that, that you'll give me the words to speak, that through your Holy Spirit you would teach us, Lord, and draw us closer to you. We ask in your holy name. Amen. This is an interesting passage because we have Nathan, the prophet, say two things that seem to contradict each other. The passage starts out giving us the setting. David was at peace. David was at a time when his palace was completed. And he looked around and he said, "What I would like to do, what is in my heart to do, is to now build a temple for the Lord." This was a very normal practice in those days in the ancient Near East. When kings would finish their own palaces, they would build temples for the gods who helped them become who they were. Honoring the God who honored them. David has this in his heart and he speaks to Nathan about this. And the first thing that Nathan says is, do what is in your heart to do because God is with you. This is a good thing that you want to do. But then God speaks to Nathan and says, Nathan, go back to David. Go and delete that which you just said. Tell him that it's not for him to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house for him. Nathan goes back, speaks to David, and then adds this beautiful promise that God gives to David, the Davidic covenant, which we have seen operating through the ages. One of the most beautiful promises in all of Scripture. This morning, as we look at this passage, I'm going to make two observations. Then I'm going to look at the implication of this promise. And then I'm going to end with a word of encouragement. Two observations, implication and encouragement at the end. The first observation is this. David here has very good intentions. But his good intention is not God's intention. He has a good plan. But his good plan is not God's plan. How many times have you found yourself thinking, this is a good thing to do. This is a scriptural thing to do. This is a thing I think God wants me to do. Without thinking, maybe God has something else in mind. Now, sometimes I know people can get paralyzed. They're not sure whether I should do this good thing because I'm not sure whether God wants me to do it or not. I don't want you to be paralyzed like that. If there's a good thing in your heart to do, then please go ahead and do that and give honor to the Lord of glory. But as you do that, be open to hearing from God if He might have something else in mind for you to do. If that might not be what He wants you to do at this time. You see the difference? It's not just saying no to something good. It's go ahead and think about that and go ahead and do that. But as you do that, be open to hearing from the Lord. Because your situation might be the same as what David experienced. The first thing in his mind is to do this for the Lord, to honor the Lord, to do a good thing. Which the prophet immediately said, yes, go ahead and do this. Because the Lord is with you. We have seen this. We have seen this in the past, how God has been with you, how He has strengthened you, how He has given you success. This has been evident. So go ahead and do this. But God's plan was different from the good plan. God had a very, very special plan for David. That's the first observation. The second observation is this. David, dear, wants to build a house for God. But instead of David building a house for God, God promises to build a house for David. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just so special? God says He will honor those who will honor Him. And David seeks to honor Him. David seeks to build this house for the Lord. Which we already said is a good thing. But then God turns around and says, David, this is what's in your heart to do for me, but what's in my heart to do for you is going to be so much bigger and so much greater than you've ever imagined. It is going to be cosmic in size, and it is going to be eternal in time. It's going to be cosmic because God is going to expand the composition of His people from one tribe and tongue to people from every tribe and tongue. You see, this kingdom, this lineage of David, these rulers who come from David will rule not just over one tribe and one tongue, but over every tribe and every tongue. The size is not just going to be Judea or just Israel. The size is going to be cosmic. It's going to be heaven and earth. And the time is not just going to be for one lifetime, or even for a few lifetimes. So even as some of the greatest civilizations dream about ruling for 1,000 years, this won't just be for 1,000 years. This will be for 1,000 times, 1,000 times, 1,000 years. This will be forever and ever. So the plan that God has in place for David is so much bigger than David could ever have imagined. This blessing, this promise is going to be cosmic and it's going to be eternal. God is saying, David, what I'm going to do for you is something that you could never have done. Something that you could not even have imagined. But I can imagine this. I can envision this. I can plan this. And I can promise this because I can make it happen. I'm the one who brought you out of the pasture. You were just a little shepherd boy. You did not work yourself up through society until you got to the top. I took you from the bottom and I placed you at the top. And I did that not because you showed yourself to be the best boy around. I did that because of my mercy and my grace. It was my decision to do this. It was in my heart to do this. And I believe it was God's good pleasure to turn David's desire around and say, David, this is your desire to build a house for me, but you know what? I'm going to be the one to build a house for you. We know that the cornerstone of this house that God will build, this dynasty, will be Jesus the Christ. I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, which makes it pretty clear. In Hebrews 1 verse 8 it says, but of the Son, this is Jesus, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And then he says, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? You see, this is the Christ. And he will be reigning on high from the moment of his ascension until eternity ends. There will not be a moment that he is not reigning. He's reigning over the people of Israel. But the people of Israel are now also the spiritual Israel, which means from every tribe and tongue, and not just from one tribe and tongue. He is our King. He is our Lord. And He is in place of authority at the right hand of the Father. Until the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdom of our God and His Christ. What a beautiful promise. Not just for David, but for you and for me. Two observations. Now, what is the implication? The implication is that we have to believe God and we have to believe His promises to us. God promised David a dynasty and he had to believe that. You see, faith is never easy. Faith is always a struggle. Sometimes we feel strong and confident in our faith. And other times, we feel weak, filled with doubt, and ready to give up. That is the life of faith. Last week, as I was reading my daily psalm, Psalm of the Day, came across Psalm 89 on the 29th. And I realized that this psalm really speaks to this passage today. Really speaks to what happened to David, the promises that God gave him. And I looked at it closely, and I found it so interesting. The psalm says this. He says, "I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations." You see exactly what we're talking about this morning. This psalm really takes us right into this promise that God gives to David. It says, "I have found David my servant. With my sacred oil I have anointed him. My hand will sustain him. Surely my arm will strengthen him. The enemy will not get the better of him. The wicked will not oppress him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down his adversaries. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure." Isn't that beautiful? You read that and you think, this is so strong, this is so sure, this is so foundational. David, what a blessed man you are. Chosen by God, brought from behind the flocks, lifted up, given the kingdom, and then promised this lineage that will just last forever and ever. What I found so interesting about the song is it doesn't continue in the same vein. Because for faith, for real faith, many times we find doubts being present. And we see this happening here. In verse 49 of that same psalm, that very same psalm, it says, "Lord, where is your former great love, which in your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, Lord, how your servant has been mocked, how I bear in my heart the taunts of all the nations, the taunts with which your enemies, Lord, have mocked, with which they have mocked every step of your anointed one." Can you imagine the same David ever doubting? The psalmist here brings us into that situation. And the psalmist tells us that where there is great faith, there also is doubt. There are times when he is strong and confident, and there are times when he struggles. And this is a time of struggle. But then the psalm ends with this, verse 52, "Praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen." He doesn't end there. He says, these are the great promises God has given. I need great faith for this, but right now I'm struggling. But I'm going to end with praise be to the Lord and amen, because I know that even through this time of struggling right now, God is going to take me through it. He will be faithful to His promises. You see, that's the faith that David displayed, and that's the faith that you and I need in our lives. Where are you at today? Are you waiting in faith? Are you living faithfully in that period now between the making of the promise and the fulfillment of the promise? Do you believe the promise of God that His Christ, a descendant of David, will rule over His people and specifically over your life? that He will rule over you, imparting to you His peace and His joy and His courage in times of trouble. Do you find yourself in that place now where things of this life have just come against you to rob you of your joy and your life and your vitality? Maybe some financial hardship has befallen you. Maybe a relational issue has just blindsided you. Maybe a physical ailment is crippling you. Whatever that is, whatever that dark place is that you're in right now, can you look to Christ and say, He is King, He is Lord of my life, and His rule and His reign will be over me? Because that's the faith that we need to hold on to the promise of God. For the promise to do its work in us, it has to become personal and it has to be believed. Many people struggle with this. To think that Christ will rule over my life on a personal level, to keep the faith between the period of making the promise and the fulfillment thereof, that is not easy. And now I want to end with a word of encouragement. Peter, a leader amongst the apostles, also struggled to believe at times. Sometimes his faith was strong, and he said to the Lord, he said, even if they put me in prison, or even if they come to kill you, I will die with you. And at other times, he could turn around and, like Judas, betray his Lord. In that fateful evening when Christ was arrested, Peter went with to the house of the high priest. He followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down, Peter sat with him. A servant girl saw him seated there. She looked closely at him and she said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, someone asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. If you are like me, then you've been there. There have been times in your life where your faith has been strong and confident and you felt that nothing can shake you. And there have been times in your life where you feel like you've let the Lord down. And maybe you've wept bitterly. But here's the encouragement. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail." And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. This is exactly what happened to Peter. Is when he had turned again, after this whole episode, he became the rock. He became the leader of the apostles. He strengthened his brothers. This prayer of Jesus was answered. Brothers and sisters, a word of encouragement. This is the prayer that Christ is praying for you today. He is interceding on our behalf with the Father. He is pleading with the Father, and He is praying this prayer that your faith may not fail. What was promised has to be believed until it is fulfilled. And you and I have the prayers of Jesus Christ for us, so that our faith in that interim period will not fail. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these promises given to David. We thank you for this great promise that Jesus Christ will rule forever and ever. I pray this morning that for each one of us here, that we would experience His rule and His reign in our lives personally. And I pray that we would have faith in the promises that You have given to us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, with Your prayer, that our faith may not fail. And I pray, Father God, as You have answered all the prayers of Jesus Christ, Your Son, that this would be the prayer that You would answer again and again for each one of us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.